speaking about children's books is this week in our literature corner is a new children's book called Amari's Adventures. And TV presenter and author Nzinga Qunta joins us this morning to speak about the book. Nzinga, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
A very good morning to you, Zulu. Thanks so much for having me, and a good morning to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about Amari's Adventures. What is it about?
Amari's Adventures is an interactive book about a child called Amari who travels across South Africa and sees beautiful plants, people, and objects. She counts from 1 to 11 while she's doing it, and she asks the little people who are reading with her to help her count. It's a rhyming book. It's been translated into 12 languages, so 11 official languages in South Africa, as well as Nama. And that's what the book is about.
And why the decision to write this book? How long had you been thinking about writing this book?
Okay, so in my family, everyone has written a book. My mom published poetry books in the 80s, mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, she was writing about the South African condition. She wrote a book called Who's Afraid of Affirmative Action, and now she's written a book called Why We're Not a Nation. My father, Vuyiswa Qunta, used to write books about rugby. He was an expert on rugby, in particular black people playing rugby in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Yolisa Qunta, wrote a bestseller called Writing What We Like. So I was the only person in my immediate family who did not write a book. But on a serious note, I had a child and I would buy her a lot of books because we had a reading culture growing up. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it was quite difficult in traditional bookstores for me to find books that I wanted her to read with little girls that maybe look like her or just beautiful illustrations. That combined with the fact that we hike almost every Sunday since she was about one made me think, I want to write this book.
Mm. And so how long did it take? And once you got going, I mean, different people have different experiences of writing. Some people say, you know, the book kind of pours out of them. For some people, and sometimes I'm this person, writing can be a lonely, difficult process. What was writing for you? Did you enjoy the process? Were you writing? How long did it take you to put the book together?
Sure. I don't even know because it was quite a hectic thing for me. It was quite a challenging learning curve. So I'm published through Seriti Sasechaba, which is my mother's publishing house. And what I had done is I just wrote 4 books almost at one go, rhyming books, because it's something that I wanted my daughter to read, who's about to come and interrupt my call. Sorry, Google.
That's fine. We're joined on the line by TV presenter and author of Amari's Adventures, Nzinga Qunta.
Okay, no, sorry. No? All right. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
There's Amari. I wrote a series of books all at one time. Mm. The challenge that I found is with illustrators. I can write a book about the challenges of finding illustrators. So I said mine came quite quickly. They all came at the same time, but the process to put together a book took me about a year. I've thought about it for about 3 years, but to actually do it took me about 2 years.
Yeah. And so were you then putting this book together over the last couple of years with the disruptions of COVID? Was it a project that you were working on over the last few years?
I would say that the book has taken me, the book and the project, it's about a year. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about writing for about 3 years. So I just wrote something down and then never did something with it. And I thought about a cover. Now that I know what the process is like to put a book together, to speak to translators, to try and make sure that things are done properly, to get an illustrator to kind of do a vision as close as possible to what's in your head, it's not an easy process at all.
Yeah. But why is that so difficult? I mean, you were saying just now that you could write a whole book about trying to find an illustrator. Why was that so difficult? Was it because of the particular kind of illustrations you wanted that it was so difficult? Or was it just generally quite a challenging thing to try and find?
I think if you want to do something properly, you're going to struggle. And also what's in your head is not always easy to say to somebody, this is what I would like you to do. So one person may interpret what I want very differently. And in the end, I just said to myself, I'm just going to have this. I'm not going to, you know, be super, super nitpicky. Personally, one of the people that I was speaking to had a personal emergency, so I had to stop. The other person, when I saw the illustrations, I felt, you know, that we were not aligned. It's a learning process, like anything, if you haven't done it before. So I've worked as a news anchor for the last, 7 years or so, and so I've never been in that space. I didn't know who illustrators were. I didn't know who to speak to. And so everything has just been a process. And what I find is it's best to outsource to people who know what they're doing. So for translations, I approached somebody at a university who was in connection, who's a specialist in African languages, who knows all the translators who work and who are accredited, as opposed to me walking up to people or trying to phone people that I don't know to say, can you translate this for me? It's a Zulu, Chivenda, or the like.
Mm. Mm. And you were saying right at the beginning that in the book, Amari goes on this adventure and she, you know, she sees all of these things and she's also counting. And so it's a book that is, it sounds as if it's a book that's for the reader, the young reader. It would help them learn how to count, but also, I guess, in the way that Amari is doing, engage with the world around them.
Absolutely. You know, we have a challenge in South Africa when it comes to numeracy and literacy in the early childhood development phase or in the primary school phase. And we also have a challenge of mother tongue numeracy and literacy. And how numerate and literate you are at an early age is one of the determinants, and quite a big one, of your economic success later on in life.
Yeah.
We know the challenges that we have as a country and the disparities that we have. So in a very small way, I don't want to be grandiose, but in a very small way, I'm hoping to contribute towards making numeracy and literacy for the children who have access to the book an easy, simple thing. Because teaching doesn't happen, and I've noticed this with my daughter, teaching doesn't happen in a classroom. Okay, teaching happens as a result of being exposed to things and curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter was reading, because we read about 2 to 3 books a night, she was reading by the time she was 4 and reading fluently at the age of 5. And she's very numerate and literate. And in part, that's because of being constantly exposed to things, but not, I mean, I don't sit her down and say, 1 plus 1 is, or this is A, B, C, D, and you have to learn how to read. We're raising her in a way that we, you know, when we're out, we'll talk about trees, how many trees can you see over here, what do you think that is, we'll see something, we'll talk about it, we'll look it up. And so I'm trying to take that and put in the book and give it to as many kids as possible so that learning is done in an easy, fun way, not in a serious, difficult way, because that's what it should be like.
Mm-hmm. And the book is in 12 languages, so the 11 official languages, and then also Nama. Please tell us about the decision to publish it in the Nama language and why that was also important.
Firstly, it was important for me to publish in 11 official languages, which is also one of the things that caused the delay from when I had the idea in my head to actually doing the thing. It's important for us, as I've spoken about, to have concepts in our mother tongues, whatever our mother tongues may be.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 11 official languages in South Africa, but we've got more languages than that. And just because something is not official does not mean, okay, you know, you don't need this. There is, you know, fears about the language being endangered, Nama, and people not having access to enough materials in it. Your listeners are speaking about memories that they have when it comes to books.
Mm.
It's a very personal, beautiful thing, and you don't know how it's going to affect you. So if we have the privilege of being able to do that for children in a language, I wanted to do that. And it's very important for me that going forward, any of the books that I do should be like that.
Yeah. And, you know, you were just saying, for instance, one of the things we were discussing with the listeners was kind of this idea of books that have shaped us, or books that, you know, you picked up and you loved it. And it was, you know, a book that you continued to have quite a big influence on you. And early on, you were also saying that, you know, in your family, there was quite this big reading culture, A, because they were authors in your family. And for you, if you had to think back to, you know, growing up in your home with all of kind of that reading and writing culture, is there a book that stands out for you as a book you remember that you picked up and it had such a big influence on you, or that it stayed with you even, you know, as you grew older?
You know, I think when it comes to the books that I read when I was younger, there's no, you know, deep impact in the sense that, you know, there was a lesson from this book that stood out for me, because I remember reading as a child just being a thing of pleasure. And it wasn't actually in my home that these books were found. One of the books, a series of books that stayed with me is Mr. Mim. We had a family friend and we'd go to them on the weekend and they had a Mr. Mim library. I thought that was the coolest thing because they had tens or hundreds of books that were just focused on Mr. Mim. And I loved knowing that each week I was going to go there and read a specific one. And now my daughter and I are buying Mr. Mim books, and it's just such a pleasurable thing for me. It's such a, you know, a beautiful thing. I also love the Roald Dahl books. I heard you talking about that now.
Yeah.
My librarian, when I was in middle school, gave me Harry Potter as they came out. And I would read it on the train on the way to school in Cape Town, and I was just engrossed in it, you know. But all of those memories are not so much life lessons that were left with me, but just the joy of books and how books can take you wherever you are. You can be sitting on a train in Cape Town and you can go to this magic place.
Mm.
And that's the power of books for me. And it's the power of reading, I think, for pleasure, not for you need to read because it's going to do X and Y for you. I think it's very important that people read for the sake of it.
Yeah, because it's interesting. It's like you say, you can go from being on the train to being in Hogwarts or being in, you know, somewhere else entirely. Mm. But often, you know, when we speak about reading, especially, and you touched on this earlier when we started speaking, that the reality is we know the challenges with regards to literacy in our country. We know the challenges every year. There's the report that comes out that looks at the level of literacy among primary school going children. I think we look at grade 3 specifically. And we know that these challenges around literacy, you know, we see them, the impact throughout our education system. And so there's always this conversation about, well, you know, parents should read more with their kids, or parents should spend more time reading with their kids. And you were saying that, you know, for you, by the time your daughter was 4 or 5, she could read fluently, and that you spend all of this time reading with her. But, you know, for many parents, there is this idea that, oof, well, I don't know what the right things are to read, or if I have the time. And so, you know, in that context, you know, how do we make reading, again, a thing for pleasure, but also a thing we know is quite important when there are all of these challenges? Like, how do we, you know, how do we make time for reading when we're just so, for many people, just so time starved? And there is this idea that you should read the right stuff, not, you know, not the stuff we enjoy. Read, you know, parents would want their kids to read good stuff, so to speak. How do we, you know, encourage that love for reading, but also, you know, with just, I think everyone's just so desperately time starved. Where do we, how do we make it happen?
I think, you know, it's also quite a privileged thing to have time to sit and read with your child. But so the one thing is, I don't think there's right and wrong things to read. Obviously, I'm not an expert. And I used to, when I was posting a lot on Instagram, I used to post a lot of stories of my daughter reading, and people would always ask me, how did you get here? So the one thing is, I think it's just repetition, like with most things with parenting. So I don't have a lot of time. I'm a working mom. I don't always have, you know, I'm not chilling with my child all the time. But what I did since she was small is that I made sure that we have a routine. So she has her supper, she has her bath, brush teeth, all of that, get into bed, and then we read the books. So we know, and I mean, for me, it's like, oh, my day is almost ending, because I know that when we're reading the books, it's bedtime after that. And so she's used to that. And so in that time, you know, we, as we built up our collection of books from, you know, bookstores, secondhand bookstores, online bookstores, she chooses one or two books, and then I'll choose one book. And it's a fun thing, and it's a part of our routine, because whatever time you are with your child, you can find it. And it doesn't take long. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. Mm. And it's a decision that you make if you've got that time with your child. If you're going to have 5 minutes with your child in a day, that's what you can do. So if you are at home with your child at the end of the day, that's what you can do. If you're at home with your child in the morning, that's what you can do. And I really think with when it comes to the right thing, it's just age-appropriate work. There's so many books out there. I know for me, I had to think about, in particular, what kind of books I expose my child to, because my parents were very particular about this with my sister and I, that when we were in the house, we didn't have books with children that didn't look like us. And it was a choice that they made because they said, when you go out into the world, there's going to be so many images that tell us that beauty looks like this. Or, you know, if you look this way, then you're okay. And if you look this way, you're not okay. So they made a decision that in terms of dolls, we're going to have dolls with the same hair as us and the same skin color as us, and with books, it's going to be the same thing. That's something that I thought about with my child as well, because I just see the overwhelming amount of books that maybe will say to my child, not on purpose, but just, you know, this is what a princess looks like, and very few of them are like her. So I wanted to make sure I have books that are affirming. But I think there's so many. There's Dr. Seuss. There's just a range of books, and it's not about what's, you know, what's right. What do you like? What do you think your child will enjoy? What's age appropriate? And just have a routine and repetition.
Are there plans to do readings of the book? Because it sounds like the kind of thing that would do really well for, like, a reading for a group of kids. Or so are there going to be any events related to the book for parents to bring their kids to?
Absolutely. So the one thing that we're doing is we're going to, and we've already started doing that, going to each province in South Africa and doing readings in early childhood development centres as well as primary schools, and donating the books to them so that as many children as possible have access to the books, and not just a one-off thing, not just going there, doing the reading and then leaving. So making sure that the little ones there can have books in the languages that are most spoken in each province. So that's one of the things that we're doing, and donating books. And then we're going to be having a launch with Ethnic Kids in June. Ethnic Kids is where you can buy the books, ethnickids.africa. And we're going to be having a launch with them in June where little ones can come and we will have readings in different languages. But it's also, I mean, it's evolving so much. It just came out and there's so many people who'd like to get involved and who are chatting to us. So that is an evolving process.
And you said the book will be launching next month through Ethnic Kids. Is that where it's available?
Yes. So the book is available online now at ethnickids.africa in 12 languages, 11 South African official languages, as well as Nama. But we're going to do a COVID-safe, if we still allow to do events, then launch in a month. Right now, we're just getting the book out so people can see it and enjoy it, and then we'll have it in physical stores from June as well.
And I forgot to ask right at the beginning, the age group that this book is targeted for, who is it, what ages is it suitable for?
It's for little ones age 0 to 6, who are still learning how to count and interact with the world. It's such a sweet, I mean, if I can say so myself, it's such a sweet little book. It's a little rhyming book. It's just got bright illustrations. It's got all our beautiful things in South Africa, our protea, our morpho butterflies, our Galjoen fish, our springbok, our blue crane, our different beautiful clothing that we wear from most of the cultures that South Africa has. And so it's just a really fun, sweet book. It's not going to take you long to read. It's going to take, oh, that's another thing. When my child was so small, I didn't want to read for too long. So the book is not going to take you too long to read your kid. It's about 12 pages. You count up to 11, and you ask the little children to count with you. Can you see the trees, and can you count up to 3, and then they have to count the 3 little trees? Or if there's beehives there, can you see the hive, and can you count up to 5, and they have to look and find the 5 hives and count them?
Yeah. Great. Nzinga, that's where we need to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and all the best with Amari's adventures.